The message yesterday was clear. American people want their leaders and Washington to set aside partisan differences and conduct ourselves in ethical manner and work together to address the challenges facing our nation. The message yesterday was clear. The challenges and opportunities are plain for all to see.
All you cowboys and the neighbors, can you swallow up your pride? Take your guns off if you're willing, and you know we're on your side. If you want to get through the years, it's high time you play your part. If you live in this world, you're feeling the change of the guard.
Will this country continue to strengthen our economy? Today and over the long run, will we provide a first-class education for our children? And will we be prepared for the global challenges of the 21st century? Will we build upon the recent progress we've made in addressing our energy needs? Meet our obligation to protect the American people.
American people, for our children.
Coming days and weeks, as we work in the new leaders in Congress, I'm also looking forward to hearing the views of our bipartisan rights study.
And that was Change of the Guard by Steely Dan. Played for its apropos. It's not really one of their better musical efforts. But I just didn't want to play We Won't Get Fooled Again. Been beating the hell out of that song for years. We just had so many opportunities for it to be relevant. Welcome to the Interside Radio Program, post-election special report edition review. My name is Scooter, and most of you know me for clowning around and taking the road most twisted, but when it comes to domestic electoral politics, I should point out that I'm considered one of the world's leading experts on my own opinion. So that's what we'll focus on for the next half hour. I can see why a lot of progressives are giddy right now.
People need to speak on to live.
My guess is Air America is even more unlistenable than usual at this point. And, well, the electorate stepped up and kicked the bums out beyond expectation.
Before the rising sun.
And most of those guys were so crooked, even Hunter Thompson's most vicious rhetoric is woefully inadequate. But fellow Americans, let's not get excited here. Those Democrats lining up behind us right now, they're not there to give us a back rub. The Bush Syndicate and Republicans Incorporated are suddenly all about getting a reach around across the aisle. And if I know my Democrats, they're looking up reach around in Wikipedia as we speak. We, the people, need to see that doesn't happen. And now's the perfect time. I believe it was Noam Chomsky who said that the only time the people, quote unquote, are able to make any real advances is when there's a schism in the ruling class. Elected politicians are certainly not the ruling class. They're petty bureaucrats who represent the interests of the ruling class, but you can get to the boss by creating havoc in the organization. The ruling class can't function without the theater of democratic illusion and a smooth-running governmental hierarchy. And if you listen to what elected and appointed officials have been saying, as well as the hacks and reporters that cover D.C., the traditional system of governing in Washington has been coming apart for years. This current batch of mouthpieces are so polarized right now, they couldn't reach a compromise over paper or plastic. Gone are the days when the ladies and gentlemen engage in dazzling debate in the hallowed halls, then go out for a drink together and trade hookers' phone numbers. They hate each other, and it's our job to make it worse. It's our turn to manipulate them with fear and paranoia. When the Republicans are convinced the Democrats are secretly plotting to legalize abortions by gay doctors and churches, and the Democrats think the Republicans are holding secret meetings with the NRA and the American Legion to overthrow the government, now we're getting somewhere. When the whole government, from dog catcher up, thinks their phones are tapped by the opposition, and the senators explode into rage, beating the crap out of each other with folding chairs like Wednesday night wrestling, these are encouraging signs. Remember, the people advance when there are serious breaches in the ruling class. 30 years ago, if you said there was no difference between the two parties, you were considered a kook. Nowadays, it's a mainstream debate. It is no longer important whether the people of the United States believe the parties are different. What's important is that the politicians continue to believe there's a difference. Because when they get together on something, we get screwed. If you see these guys doing the reach around across the aisle, write to both sides, accuse them of cowardice, question their patriotism, anything to resume the hostility. We're in good shape right now. These guys have no skills, can't govern, and won't compromise. Let's grind them down and take over. Do it for your country. Do it for your fellow Americans. Do it for posterity. Think of the children. Do it for the children. How many times have you heard that one lately? And why do people buy these ancient cons? Everybody's done it for the children for thousands of years. You don't invade your neighbors, ethnically cleanse, or commit genocide for your grandparents. You always do it for your children, right? At least, that's what they told you. I found something pretty interesting online the other day, just in time for Halloween. You remember Jim Jones from Jonestown, who talked the better part of 900 people into committing suicide, murdered the rest, and provided right-wing talk radio with his greatest one-liner? During the Kool-Aid ceremony, Jones actually had a tape recorder under his chair and recorded. And you can hear all 45 minutes of it on the net if you can handle it. But one thing did stand out for me. Check this out.
Some have stolen children from mothers, and they're in pursuit right now to kill them because they stole their children. I don't think this is what we want to do with our babies. I don't think that's what we had in mind to do with our babies. It was said by the greatest of prophets from time immemorial, no man takes my life from me, I lay my life down. I'm going to shoot that pilot, and down comes that plane into the jungle. And we had better not have any of our children left when it's over, because they'll parachute in here on us. I'm telling you just as plain as I know how to tell you, I've never lied to you. I never have lied to you. So my opinion is that we be kind to children and be kind to seniors and take the portion like they used to take in ancient Greece and step over quietly, because we are not committing suicide. It's a revolutionary act. You can have an opportunity, but if our children are left, we are going to have them butchered. We're trying. If everybody will relax, the best thing you do to relax, then you will have no problem. You'll have no problem with the thing if you just relax.
The children here, a great deal because of Jim Jones. And the way the children are laying there now, I'd rather see them laid like that than to see them have to die like the Jews did, which was pitiful anyhow. And I'd just like to thank Dad for giving us life and also death. And I appreciate the fact the way our children are going. Because like Dad said, when they come in, what they're going to do to our children, they're going to massacre our children. And also the ones that they take captured, they're going to just let them grow up and be dummies like they want them to be, and not grow up to be associates like the one and only Jim Jones.
It's simple. There's no convulsions with it. It's just simple. Just please get it. Before it's too late, the GDF will be here. I tell you, get moving.
Don't be afraid to die.
If these people land out here, they'll torture some of our children here. They'll torture our people. They'll torture our seniors. We cannot have this.
Quickly. The sisters. Good knowing you. No more pain, Al. No more pain, I said, Al. No more pain.
So I kill children, I don't see them die. I kill children, I make mamas cry. I kill children, I make me hiss indoors. I kill children, cannot wait for yours. 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 Cannot wait for yours.
That's right. Do it for the children. And guess what? They did. So remember good old Jim the next time you hear that line. And have a sip of Kool-Aid on the house. You thought it could only happen in Missouri, but all across the United States, dead people and corpses have been elected to public office. This is Geraldo Mustache, Rainy Voice, Thimble Scooter, reporting for Pacifica Radio's Informed Dissent, with a look at the trend in dead politicians. A segment we call The Election of the Living Dead. Dateline, November 2006. We go to our correspondent in South Dakota, Lori Peterbilt. Lori.
Thank you, Mustache. A so-called woman from Pierre, South Dakota, who died 2 months ago on a county commissioner's race in Harrod County on Tuesday. Democrat Maurice Stikton of Woodsocket got 1,000 votes, defeating a living incumbent, Republican Merlin Faisner of Woodsocket, who had 64 votes.
The Informed Dissent team traveled to Woodsocket to interview the victor. Hello. Is there a Marie Feistner in there? This is Pacifica's Informed Dissent. Hello, Marie Feistner. Hello.
Keep it locked.
Last night it got so violent it almost broke out.
Chief, if I were surrounded by 6 or 8 of these things, would I stand a chance with them?
Well, there's no problem. If you had a gun, shoot them in the head. That's a sure way to kill them. If you don't, get yourself a club or a torch. Beat them or burn them. They go up pretty easy.
Well, Chief McClellan, how long do you think it will take you until you get the situation under control?
Well, that's pretty hard to say. We don't know how many of them there are. We know when we find them, we can kill them.
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
Thank you very much, Chief McClellan. This is Bill Cardill, WIC, TV 11 News.
Thank you, Bill, for that report.
Dateline, Anchorage, Alaska. A dead woman won a re-election to a school board in rural Alaska after her opponent lost a coin flip meant to break the electoral tie. Catherine Dungeon, who died of cancer on October the 3rd, the day of the local election, was re-elected to the Aleutian Region School District after her opponent, Donna Highstone, called heads on a coin toss that landed tails. Pacifica Radio's Election of the Living Dead's news team contacted the winner, Catherine Dunn, who had this to say. Dateline, Houston, and our on-the-spot reporter, Norton Scooter, on the ground in Brazoria, Texas.
A slick campaign mailer shows a smiling Republican, Clendon Dawson, meeting with Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson. It reminds voters of Dawson's many notable achievements in education, economics, and politics. What the ad doesn't say is that Dawson has been dead since September. Republican Clendon Dawson swept the race in a landslide against a living Latino. No surprise in that county. I spoke to the corpse of Clendon Dawson at the victory celebration in Brazoria County. Yo, Glenda.
New York's new statewide database of registered voters contains as much as 77,000 dead people on its rolls. As many as 2,600 of them have cast votes from the grave, according to an analysis by the Poughkeepsie Journal. Luckily, there is a new sheriff in town, informed dissent, called the office of the new House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to straighten out these inconsistencies. Geraldo Scooter, can I speak to Nancy Pelosi?
This is Ms. Pelosi's office.
Well, I found some indiscrepancies in the election. Apparently, three dead people have been elected to office, and probably more than 20,000 dead people voted, and I think she really needs to know about that. We're used to this happening in Missouri and Texas, but this widespread election of corpses, I don't think this is going to bode well for her. Have you been working for her very long?
For Ms. Pelosi?
Yes.
No.
Well, could you get her on the line for me?
No.
She does know me.
She knows you?
Yes, she knows me very well.
Could you repeat your spelling of your name, Scooter?
Geraldo Scooter.
Is that, as in Rivera?
Geraldo Mustache.
Geraldo Mustache.
As in Geraldo Mustache.
So it is three names? Scooter, Geraldo Mustache?
Yes, ma'am.
And you want me to report to Ms. Pelosi a number of dead candidates? Are they still running? Have they won the election?
Ma'am, you know, if you could put me through to her, she will take my call. Are you new in the office?
I just started this today, and I don't know the button for connecting you to the inner office. Okay, I'll put you through.
Mr. Mustache.
Okay, I'll put you through, Mr. Mustache.
Have you been... you're a temp with her, huh?
Oh, yes, I am a temporary employee.
You're just there for the turnaround, I guess.
For the transitional period.
I heard something that she asked Conyers to take off everything that he put on a website about impeaching George Bush. Did you hear about that?
Oh, well, she must have had a good reason for that, Mr. Mustache.
It seems as if she's broken the marble ceiling, brought the Democrats back into power, and rolled right over. I mean,
in what way would you say rolled right over?
Just sort of playing dead.
Oh, I see, the playing dead. Well.
Oh, we got through. Hello, is this Miss Pelosi? Miss Pelosi, hello.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Rummy, we barely knew you.
And so if you take that the absence of unhelpful in two respects. Number one, that's for sure. There were something like that would be beyond saying that we had visibility into that question. We have things that would suggest that, but whether it was quote-unquote, as you put it, yeah, that I haven't got a definitive answer to. I don't want to put a timetable on activities. I can say this, so we don't have anything pending. The process that we've been in discussions with about what, in the case of Saul, specified the thing's been going on for weeks. But we all agree with that. My guess is it included. I don't know that that's the case. I don't know. There isn't one. And a miscommunication to terrorists who came in. They're all slightly different. It makes it like five different things going on, that kind of an approach. My personal view is that we're in a war. Are people that don't agree with that, for the most part, terrorists?
Looking past of a servant.
I'm going to be wrong for something else. So it is a project that's been going on a long time, working it hard, and it's not a simple thing to do. It's a very complicated thing, but the response has been excellent. I wish I could help people with a timeline, but it's just not possible. What is taking place is complicated. It is a preventative system that's something approximating this. The sooner that happens, in my view, how long or how successful press people are saying, and it isn't, but if someone wants to call it something else, fine, do that. In the case of Italy, they have some carabinieri, and in the case of other countries, they've all specified the things they can offer up. They would not be solely those countries. There would be a number of countries that I'd have to go back and see what he said, but my guess is it included. And we'll think what they did during the war, the Fedi and Saddam. They put civilian clothes on, went around, and took women and children and shoved them in front. People are saying, is it Vietnam yet? Hoping it is. And wondering if it is. And it isn't. It's a different time. It's a different era. It's a different place. It's different. It's a different time. It's a different era. That is that, because I tend to be conservative and cautious. If you go from a transition period and then you go to something other than that, the wonderful opportunity to do that. Every country in my adult lifetime, we've seen in that transition period there's untidiness. And there's no question but that that's not anyone's choice. On the other hand, one can understand the pent-up feelings that may result from people who've had members of their family killed, and the coalition forces are doing that. Let me say one other thing. I picked up a newspaper today, and I couldn't believe it. I read 8 headlines that talked about chaos, violence,
unrest. And it just was Henny Penny, the sky is falling. I've never seen anything like it. And here is a country that's being liberated. Here are people who are going from being repressed and held under the thumb of a vicious dictator, and they're free. And all this newspaper could do, with 8 or 10 headlines, they showed a man bleeding, a civilian who they claimed we had shot, one thing after another. It's just unbelievable.
To the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide, and I stop and I turn and I go for a ride, and I get to the bottom and I see you again. Yeah, yeah.
And here is a country that's being liberated.
Do you? Don't you want me to make you?
Yeah.
I'm coming down fast, but don't let me break you.
Violence. Unrest. One thing after another. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. Violence.
I don't want to leave my fingers to this mess. Quickly, 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 quickly. The sisters. Been knowing you. No more pain, Al. No more pain, I said, Al.
We heard Jim Jones with the No Child Left Behind Kool-Aid Acid Test. Wing did the Carpenters cover. And Janet Coleman was sitting in for Nancy Pelosi's office manager.
It is indeed
a new age for the suckers.
They made their little sky daddies.
Bless their dumb.
Dead Kennedys did.
This has been the Intersight Radio program produced at Pacifica Radio's KPFT Houston. See y'all next week.